Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Thank you for your prayers. Thank God for his blessings and bringing us home safely. Thank God for what I can feel this morning. Amen. I'm glad to know that I got a God I can feel. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to know my God ain't dead. Amen. You pray for me. This is a very simple sermon this morning, but it's amazing. And these guys that stood and spoke before, this thing's been on my mind for weeks. I've woke myself up preaching this. Wasn't sure exactly where the scripture was going to come from until yesterday when the Lord got to dealing with me. Isaiah chapter 9. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. Very familiar scripture for this time of year. Amen. We're in the Christmas season, and I love Christmas. Amen. I love everything about Christmas. I love the decorations. I love the food. I love the fellowship. I love the way that everybody kind of changes a little bit. Our demeanors change. We seem like we got a smile on our face a little more because maybe it's because of the kids, and the kids are happier. And why can't we be like that all year long? Encourage each other and just lift up each other. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9. If you're there, say amen. Amen. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there should be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for each one that's come this way this morning. Thank you, God, for what we can feel, for the songs, dear Lord, for the prayers that's already been answered, God, on this altar. And God, you move. God, of this church, God, you help me, God, to do what I cannot do on my own. God, I know I need you today, God. And God, I pray, God, you just help this to touch someone, bless someone, someone that's not saved. God, help them to realize that today's the day of salvation. And whatever's done, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. The Bible talks about in Isaiah chapter 9, it's talking about how the Messiah will come as a baby and how the Messiah will be a ruler. The Bible says that he's going to be called wonderful. That word wonderful there basically means miracle or supernatural. The Bible says he's going to be called counselor. That word counselor there means to be a debater or resolve or to take advice or to consult from. We know that we have the greatest counselor in the world. You ever went to somebody, Brother Tony, you ever went to somebody and you just kind of poured your heart out? I mean, you talked and they listened. And when it was over with, you looked at them and said, well, this helped me a lot. And they didn't do nothing. You ever had that happen? Had a guy pour his heart out to me one time. This is years ago. He said, man, I appreciate you talking to me. Melvin, and I all I did was listen. I didn't say not one word the whole time. I'm glad I got a counselor. You might not think he's talking. But when I get on this altar, he's talking, amen. And sometimes, you know, he just sits there and lets you do the talking, and he works it all out, amen. But that's what the Bible says. He's going to be the mighty God. That means powerful or champion, a warrior. Then it says the Prince of Peace. This is the head person, the captain of peace. You understand? So he is the one in charge of peace. If you don't have no peace this morning, it's not his fault. He's got all you need. Some of us already should have been on the altar because you need that peace this morning. You need a peace that passes all understanding. You need the peace that only Jesus can give, and he's got it. Now, with all that said, that's not what my message is about. My message is this. I'm glad I got a Savior. I'm glad I got a Savior. I want you to just think about this as I'm preaching. I'm glad I got a Savior, number one, that was born as a man. Amen. And this is the Christmas story. The Bible tells us, Brother Melvin, that Jesus left a splendor of glory. He came down. He inhabited this body of flesh. And I was thinking about this. Me and my wife was talking about this yesterday. What in the world, Brother Tony, think about this. Todd, what in the world, Skip, could Mary and Joseph teach him? You're talking about the one that slung the stars out there. You're talking about the one that created everything with his voice. So what in the world could Mary and Joseph teach him? And Juwan said something, and it blew my mind. How to be human. He didn't need no help being God. He's always been God. My God, I feel that. He didn't need no help. He knew how to be God. He had to be taught how to be human. I might not even get off this first point. Whew. Everything that you teach your kids, they had to teach him. I cannot imagine being God. Now, and I know I say a lot of things sometimes when I'm preaching, and I joke around a lot, but I'm just being honest with you, okay? There's sometimes, Brother Johnny, that I am not all I'm supposed to be. I cannot imagine being God and having all that power and having all that authority and having to be controlled in a human body. You make me mad. I'm just being honest. I cannot imagine having that kind of power and it being shut up in a human body. But his mama and Joseph had to teach him how to be human. He knew. We spiritualize a lot of things. We over-spiritualize a lot of things. You got to understand something. He was 100% God and 100% man. He was not half God and half man. He was 100% on both sides. Every trouble, every temptation, everything that you've ever faced, Jesus faced it. Being God. I'm just telling you, that'd have been a lot to handle. Can you imagine? And this is just me thinking. As I was traveling down the road yesterday, I was thinking about this. Can you imagine laying in a manger looking up at somebody that you created? Can you imagine laying in a manger when you had the vast universe at your disposal? And because you love somebody so much that you've confined yourself to this little box. I'm glad I got a Savior that knows everything about me. I'm glad I got a Savior that knows what it means to be tempted. I'm glad I got a Savior that knows what it means to have his feelings hurt. I'm glad I got a Savior that knows what it means to have to put up with people like we have to put up. I'm glad I got a Savior that was born as a man. Glory to God. You understand something? He knew how to hurt. He knew everything. He knew about temptation. He knew everything. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, listen, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but with all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Hey, I'm glad they taught him how to be human. He didn't just come down and tell us how to do it. He came down and showed us how to do it. Everything you've ever been tempted with, Jesus was tempted with. Everything you've ever thought about doing, Jesus thought about doing. But glory to God, he didn't. He showed us how to be human, and he showed us how to live our lives in a way that would please his Father. So I'm glad that I got a Savior that came down and showed me. I'm glad I got a Savior who could work miracles. Understand it. Hey, I got to study this. I thought about it. Buddha, there's not one miracle ever assigned to Buddha. Not one. If you go into reading the Quran, according to historian Dennis Grill, the Quran does not overtly describe Muhammad as performing miracles. I'm glad to know that my Savior, glory to God, not only performed miracles, still performs miracles. Amen. I'm glad to know, hey, he was in control of the all sickness. He was in control of everything. I'm glad to know that I had a God that stepped out of glory, came down, and just because he was man, did not put off being God, glory to God. He was divine in human form. When he touched the blind man saw. When he touched the lame man walked. Understand, son, when he touched the dead man got up. I'm glad that's my Savior. I'm glad I got a Savior, amen. I'm glad I got a Savior that into Christmas time we can have all this and look at all this and think about that. I'm glad I got a Savior that loved me enough to come down and do all those things. I'm glad I got a Savior that loved me enough to let himself be crucified. You never hear nothing like that about Buddha. You never hear nothing about that, about Muhammad. All these other so-called messiahs and all these other so-called gods. You realize that Christianity is the only religion in the whole world where our God died for us. Christianity is the only religion in the whole world where our God suffered for us. Every other religion requires you to suffer for your God. Every other religion requires you to die for your God. But glory to God, my Savior. Hey, I'm glad I got a Savior that loved me enough. He came down and allowed himself. You understand what I'm saying? He allowed himself to be crucified. He didn't have to. He didn't have to, but he did. He allowed himself. The old song says he could have called down 10,000 angels. He could have, Alan, he could have wiped out everything, but he didn't. Mike sings a song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. That's the only reason that Jesus stayed on that cross, amen. I'm glad I got a Savior that loved me enough that he allowed himself to be crucified. I don't have time this morning to go into all the details about crucifixion, but most of you know from watching our play, and most of you know from watching the Passion of the Christ or reading the Bible, we know what Jesus suffered for us. For me and for you, I got a Savior that loved me enough to be crucified. I'm glad I got a Savior that was not only crucified, he died for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him who knew no sin. He had never sinned, Brother Johnny. Yes, he was 100% human, but he never done anything wrong. He never said a cross word. He never got mad and slapped nobody. He never got mad and said anything wrong. He never had a lustful thought. But he died for all us that do. I've never done drugs. I used to drink some. I've never done drugs. But Jesus took that on that cross for you. All the alcohol that you've ever drank, Jesus took that on that cross for you. All the immoral thoughts, all the things, Wes, that we've had go through our mind, Jesus took that on that cross for us. He died. I'm glad I got a Savior that died for me, amen? But I'm glad I got a Savior that didn't stay dead. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I got a Savior. The Bible says when he was on the cross and he spoke the last time that he gave up the ghost. They couldn't kill him. He had to give it up. Amen. How you going to kill God? You can't kill God. I'm telling you right now, they could not kill him. He gave it up. He died on that cross. They, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they come and they take him down off of that cross. They place him in a borrowed tomb because he wasn't going to be there long. Amen. And the Bible says on the third day, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's my Savior. That's my Savior. Amen. That's the one I serve. That's the one that loves me. That's the one that died for me. That's the one that, hey, not only did he die, praise God, he's coming back. Amen. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, I believe it is, that this same Jesus, amen, this same Jesus, Skip, he ain't sending Peter and he ain't sending Paul. He loved me enough to die for me. He loved me enough to come down and be born as a human. He going to love me enough to come back and get me his own self. That's my Savior. That's my Savior. Let me ask you a question. How many know this Savior I'm talking about? You know without a shadow of a doubt, you know that you know that you know. Now I'm talking about Jesus. That's your Savior. How many of us this morning, by a show of raising of hands, can say, I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's not a doubt in my mind that that's my Savior. That's my Jesus. That's my, hey, that's my heaven where we're going to go and live. If you don't know him as your Savior, you're going to know him as your judge. There ain't no getting away from this. Everything I've preached this morning, he is. He was born 100% man, 100% God. He lived a sinless life. He walked through this life, never did sin. Hey, he walked through this life raising the dead, healing the sick, amen. He walked through this life doing great for other people. He walked through this life, gave himself to be crucified. He went to that cross just for you. He died just for you. He rose just for you. He's going to come again if you're saved just for you. But if you're not saved, he will be your judge. It'll be too late to say, that's my Savior. How many of us this morning, if I ask the question, all of us want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But everybody ain't going. That's the fact. Everybody wants to go. But everybody's not going, Brother Ed. The Bible's plain on this. The only way to get to heaven is through my Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't you want to be able to say this morning that that's my Savior? I want you to bow your heads with me. Preacher Thad, come get a song.